We are delighted that you are here today. We welcome longtime members and visitors alike. It is Pentecost and a great day to be together. Let me introduce John Spangler to you. John graduated from Maryville College, had pastorates in Pennsylvania and Missouri, came to Atlanta as part of an interdenominational mission effort, and 30 years ago was installed in leadership in Cherokee Presbytery. He has done 1,001 things for us, and now distinguished himself in recent years in several ways. He is on the coordinating committee, which is kind of the session of the presbytery, those people who see that everything runs smoothly. He's been on congregational care and mission, and he and others worked a miracle in that Cherokee Retreat Center, which was ours alone and struggling financially, was taken over by Bartow County, but reserved for us was all the best of summer camping. So we owe John a great deal for his long years of service and for these particular services in recent years. I want to give John a minute of personal privilege now to speak to you.
Thanks, Walter, for his kind remarks. I want to say personal word of Thanksgiving for myself and for Beverly to have an opportunity to share in worship with you, and particularly on this Pentecost Sunday. And speaking of Pentecost, I'm going to venture or dare to do something else. On Pentecost, we never know exactly what's going to happen, do we? Well, here's what's going to happen, at least I'm inviting you. How about kind of clustering in a little closer and a little bit more forward? More like our Southern Baptist brothers and sisters do than Presbyterians tend to do. Kind of like we were to gather together as disciples in one little room. If you're inclined to do that, you're invited to do that.
As I indicated in the introduction, John has always been a moving force in the presbytery. And by way of introduction, John, let me introduce these people to you. These are the very people who, for the next 2 weeks, will be serving meals at Camp AIM, which is a camp for abused children. They'll come and make breakfast and lunch available and provide hospitality that makes such a difference in the morale of the young children going through this. These folks will also be reading at Joanne Lewis Park. Now, they've been reading through the year in a public elementary school, but now to keep that alive in the summer, we go out, hand out books, and read stories to children so that they can keep their momentum up, as it were. And if you'll look at the announcements in the back of the bulletin, I remind you tomorrow of the mission team committee and also of the facilities team. I hope you noticed when you came in today what a wonderful job they did yesterday in putting out pine straw and doing all the sprucing up outside and inside. Looks great. Then on Friday, we'll be here again. I hope you will, because there's going to be a chamber choir concert, a kind of opera, but a fun kind. Free, lasts for an hour. 8 o'clock, and some of our fine voices will be participating. So I hope you'll be here to enjoy and to wave the flag. Let me ask Gene Jones to say a word about Taizé worship, which you'll see Wednesday the 14th as upcoming.
Thank you.
I want to thank Becky Jolly today for the flowers and all the women who provide flowers week after week. They're always a beautiful asset for worship. I remind you that our young people are away on retreat this weekend. You see in the prayer list the names of Ben, Emma, and James, but all our youth, their parents and leaders are away, so we pray for them and their spiritual growth. Aunt Farah remains in transition, her family trying to find out exactly the right place for her. And with Dennis and Ann here, I'm reminded of their sons in the military and the fact that we need to give thanks for the freedoms we enjoy at all times. Now, a time of celebration and preparation. The peace of Christ be with you. Turn and greet your neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. On this Pentecost Sunday, we come to this place in time of worship confident that God in Christ is with us. We are confident, too, that the Holy Spirit will comfort, guide, and transform us. along with the worldwide church in all its history and diversity, we join in worship and celebration, praying, fill our lives, Holy Spirit, as you refresh and renew us with hope, love, joy, and peace. And let us pray. How blessed we are, glorious God, to be called as Pentecost people, women and men, younger and older, with all our diversity of strengths and limitations, and with a variety of gifts and talents. As those who would be your Pentecost people, we share a passion to reflect the grace and glory of Savior Jesus. Breathe into us anew, so that your Holy Spirit will be alive within and among and through us. Thus may your transforming love and light radiate in all of us and the whole creation. This we pray in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. and now together. Forgive us, gracious God, when we act as if Pentecost is just an ancient story that's not connected to our lives today. Remind us that your Holy Spirit still moves among us like the wind and still enlivens us like breath. Renew us as persons in church and communities. Move us along where you want us to go and empower us to be and do what is your plan and purpose. For we would live as your forgiven, Spirit-filled people. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to God, the Spirit, and the free.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Listen for God's word. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news for today is from the Gospel of John, five verses in the 20th chapter, which chapter, by the way, as best we can understand, was the original end of the Gospel, but the Gospel as we know it has one additional chapter, the 21st, but this is from the 20th. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on him and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Rather than being some kind of a pre or a partial Pentecost account, John's good news for today is a clear narrative of the day of Pentecost. The gospel vividly describes people who were cowering in the shadows and then emerging in the light. Let's hear those five verses, that five-verse narrative again in a slightly different voice. As a matter of fact, in a modern language, a dynamic equivalent translation that was published in 212 called The Voice. On that same evening, Resurrection Sunday, the followers gathered together behind locked doors and feared that some of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem were still searching for them. And out of nowhere, Jesus appeared in the center of the room. And Jesus said, "May each one of you be at peace." And as he was speaking, he revealed the wounds in his hand and side, and the disciples then began to celebrate as it sank in that they were really seeing Rabbi Jesus. Jesus said, "I give you the gift of peace. In the same way God has sent me, I am sending you." And now he drew close enough to each of them that they could feel his breath as he breathed on them. And Jesus said, "Welcome the Holy Spirit of the living God. You now have the mantle of God's forgiveness. As you go, you are able to share the life-giving power to forgive sins. Or to withhold forgiveness." And we would do well to remember today, indeed to remember every day, those first followers of Christ. Because we are so much like them. In the growing shadows of evening, with the darkness of night beginning to set in, those first disciples were hiding out behind closed doors. They were afraid of religious and political authorities, the powers that be. They were afraid of both the known and the unknown about themselves, about Jesus who had died, and now they hear reports of his resurrection. New Testament scholar William Barclay tells us that the disciples
were meeting in terror, listening fearfully to every step on the stair and for every knock on the door, lest someone would come and get them too. So they were really hunkered down. They were hiding out. They were paralyzed with fear. They were cowering in the shadows. Now, mind you, not just from ancient gospel stories, but from our very own lives, we know a thing or two about cowering in the shadows. We know about people in fear and even in despair. We know about people who are caught up in deteriorating marriages or relationships or in drug abuse and addiction or in poverty and homelessness or in slavery and oppression or in mental and emotional and spiritual depression. Matter of fact, though we might pretend otherwise, right here, right now, some of us are really cowering in the shadows. Throughout Dalton and nearby communities in this state of Georgia of ours and throughout these United States of America and all around planet Earth, countless people are just cowering the shadows. And how could it be otherwise? Since cowering in the shadows is our human predicament. Disappointment, disease, disgrace, disrespect, disaster, defeat, destruction, depression, all of that is so much a part of our lives in so many different ways and at so many different points. It's no wonder that the great Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard wrote so much about dread, about fear and trembling, about sickness unto death as our human condition. And recently, the wonderful biblical scholar that many of us locally know, Walter Brueggemann, has spoken of fear and fatigue and cynicism as the power failures in our lives. When any one or all of them, fear, fatigue, cynicism, when they set in, we become powerless. Indeed, we become lifeless as both cause and symptom of our cowering in the shadows. And whenever we try, as most of us do, to survive by our own wits, by our own devices, we will remain powerless and lifeless, cowering in the shadows. Like it or not, that is reality. And the only contravening reality, the only promising reality, is that we can have Pentecostal experiences that help us emerge out of the shadows. Emerge into the light. And truth be known, the message of the whole biblical witness is this. Into the confusions of our world with all of its deadly divisions and hatreds has come the life, light word of transforming power. And only those people who welcome such good news will experience in themselves, among themselves, the life light and love which makes wholeness and peace on earth possible. And such good news, it's as old as creation itself and as new as our own Pentecostal experiences. We do remember, don't we? It was the plan and the action of God at the time of creation. It was the wish of Moses that we heard about again this morning regarding all of the people of the covenant. It was the proclamation of such prophets as Isaiah and Joel, and it was the promise that was made and kept by Jesus that the Spirit of God would be breathed into all of God's people. And over again, the Spirit of God in Christ appears as resistance, shining light into the shadows, rising above all hatred, and holding hope against all hope. And surely that's our hope too. Over and over again, the Spirit reminds us that Pentecost experiences are not just, you know, some kind of a one-time event somewhere way over there, but Pentecost is a right here and right now, almost anywhere, anyhow, anytime, promise kept by the Christ. Each and every day can be a day of Pentecost. The promise and the call of Pentecost is for God's faithful people to recognize and then to respond to the Spirit of the living God and the risen Christ, who is very present and very active today. Such recognition and response is rooted in the Gospels as though they were video clips of the Pentecostal life. They are, in fact, the light and life-giving narratives of the purpose and the power of the Spirit of God as revealed in the life and in the teachings and the ministry and the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. But then let the obvious be said. For most of us, Pentecostal experiences are not. They are not, as was true for those first disciples. They're not matters of wind and tongues of fire and babble of many different languages. For us, Pentecostal experiences are more like surprising moments when we're greeted with the peace that is, as Jesus gave to his first disciples, the peace meaning the shalom, the wholeness, the health, the well-being. The peace of God. And then we're breathed on and filled with the Spirit, and we're sent out on missions of forgiveness. And that's exactly what John's gospel version of the day of Pentecost is all about. So perhaps today, our prayers should be one we share with a very beloved Presbyterian preacher and writer, Frederick Buchner, from a very appropriately named book, The Hungering Dark. The prayer, says Buchner, God, catch us off guard today. Surprise us with some moment of beauty or pain, so that for at least a moment we may be startled into seeing you here in all of your splendor, always and everywhere, barely hidden, beneath, beyond, within this life we breathe. when we are so prayerfully attuned to the Pentecostal Spirit, the Spirit of God who created us and of Christ who redeemed us, there and only then are our spirits set free from deadly captivity in the shadows. Then and only then can our spirits really emerge out into the lifelight of God's love. Then and only then are we empowered, really given the power to know our forgiveness and then to forgive others, to do what is good, to do what is just, and to do what is right. And to know it and believe it and do it, all in the name of Christ and for the sake of God's whole creation. May it be so. Amen. Let me invite now all who are able to stand to sing together our hymn, Spirit of the Living God, and let me mention to you that we'll sing through it a second time, and maybe that second time with just a little bit more of Pentecostal energy. Let us now share together in an affirmation of faith, part of what we believe, and you'll see it's from our Presbyterian Church USA brief statement of faith. As a matter of fact, it's the final paragraphs of that great statement. Let us affirm our faith. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and earth. Praying, come, Lord Jesus. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Please be seated. And now let us, as the people of God, in continued worship and celebration, present our gifts and tithes and offerings of the day.
Thank you.
arise, your light has come. The light of God, who is our Creator, Christ the Redeemer, and the comforting, empowering Holy Spirit. Go in peace, forgiven, and as those who forgive our sisters and brothers. In the name of Christ, amen.